Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead.
Okay. Welcome to the show, to the Modern Militia, the California State Militia 31st Field Lightfoot Force. We welcome you with Colonel Brian Hunt and also a guest on the show, DJ Fisher. Is that correct? Fisher, yeah, I'm trying to think of that. But anyway, today's topics we're going to be covering on the San Bernardino's shooting, a little more update on that information. And, Brian, what intel did you got regarding to the whole shooting that happened a few weeks ago?
Well, before we get into that, I want to welcome DJ Fisher, Major. He is the state chaplain. He is a member of my command staff. Welcome, DJ.
Yeah, and
welcome,
I float off of the ground. Hello,
oh,
everybody.
Go ahead. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Michael Raley. I'm a media associate with the California State Militia, and we welcome you all. I also want to point out to everybody, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year for all the militia members of the California State Militia and the militia across the country. Now let's stay tuned to this program and continue on this whole San Bernardino County shooting. What intel did you actually got that might be more than what we've been told by the media?
Well, here's what I've got. Before we do anything, I'm going to go to an eyewitness audio report. Give me about a minute, and you'll hear a live report on air.
Okay.
Listen to the women describe the eyewitness who was in the actual center, who saw the shootings happen. She saw the.
Anybody there?
I'm still on the air. It looks like we're having technical difficulties.
Of course.
No, we're not having technical difficulties. Hang on.
It happens. You know, this is.
I heard
radio.
Fired and it was, from an automatic weapon. So, it's very unusual why,
Dead air time.
Yeah. It happens.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, professionals have it all figured out.
Well, professionals do have a lot of technical difficulties. I mean, think about Mike Savage and Alex Jones and many other talk radio shows. Stuff like this do happen. But I thought when it first happened, I knew it was a false flag. But we'll get into that shortly, everybody. You got the audio
well, personally.
Ready?
Personally, whenever I hear something going on, I think of the motivation and who would be motivated to do what, okay? And in this situation, it seems like everything that's been going on for the last 10 years has been global elite trying to cause chaos and trying to cause division and trying to bring the population of the United States down so that they could do their global agenda. And the people in all the other countries in the world that long to be free are actually counting on the citizens of the United States to figure this out and stand up to them and literally save the population of the rest of the world.
Right. Do you think that this whole terrorist attack, do you think it was done by the United States government, or was it just ISIS involved, or what's your view about the whole event?
Well, I think it's the global shadow government, and I think that they're just doing what they do, and that is cause as much chaos as possible. I mean, basically they think that only they and their families and their servants deserve to live on the planet. That's only a half a billion. That means that they have to figure out a way to get rid of 6.5 billion. Now, they could just nuke everybody and get down into their high-speed railway, never-finished tunnels.
Okay, I'm
and
back
live
on
underground.
Oh, awesome. We're getting back to the eyewitness. Yeah,
right, yeah, basically what I attempted to do was put an eyewitness on air from an audio that I had received. The audio is basically, I believe her name is Sally. Hang on, let me go back to the. Her name. Oh, her name is Sally Abdelmajid, and she was the one of the eyewitnesses to the shooting. And she describes three tall, Caucasian males dressed in military equipment and garb and ready to do business, carrying extra ammo, with high-powered assault weapons, or what she called high-powered assault weapons, which I would assume would be automatic weapons. Now, according to the information I have received, and according to Steve Pizenik, former State Department and government psychiatrist, he says that this was a false flag attack, no question about it. There's some questions that need to be asked that are very tough questions that nobody has asked the law enforcement community or even attempted to. Take it away, Michael.
Yeah, well, the question is, what is the question that we need to ask about this event? I mean,
was this really
ISIS, or was this some sort of secret military-like Kraft International? Are they
I believe the gentleman that was there. Now, understand, that very day, down the road, not less than a mile away, there was a SWAT team exercise going on involving that very same thing, how to respond to a mass shooter. And bam, all of a sudden we have this. Now, these three men, I believe, may be Kraft International. We just don't know, but I suspect very strongly that this may have been a black operations operation. Now, the question that several questions need to be asked and answered by not only the our president of the United States, but the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Office. Number one, according to early reports from media, there were three tall Caucasian men in military black uniforms carrying automatic weapons. The witness that I had just described over air clearly saw these Caucasians enter the location and shoot up the place and leave in a black SUV. Where did these guys go? Number two, at one of the shooting scenes, the death car, the vehicle that I call the death car, is where the two Muslims the lady and her husband was basically shot to death. The question that I'm asking is, why are the windows of the vehicle rolled up? People would not be shooting or throwing explosives out the windows if
when it's
the
closed.
Windows were rolled up. Yeah, the
exactly.
windows were rolled up, and they were shot out by the police, and the windows were shot. The windows, the window blast pattern. You could clearly see that they were shot in and not out like a normal window would be blown out if somebody was shooting through the window.
Right.
And
that would be
all of them.
Yeah.
Right. All of them were. I mean, this vehicle was peppered like there was no tomorrow. And according to witnesses. And there's more than one witness, but according to witnesses, the three shooters were wearing long sleeves, not short sleeves, and there was not a woman present. And then all of a sudden, you know, mainstream media says, oh, we got two Islamics, one wearing short sleeves, and a woman wearing shorts. Nowhere in the preliminary reports from the witnesses did they describe any people like this wearing this type of attire. And
let me make a point, Brian. Let me make a point.
Go ahead.
A real Muslim woman will not wear shorts. They are not allowed.
Exactly. But this woman was wearing a pair of shorts. This woman was wearing green shorts.
Yeah, they're not allowed to wear shorts at all. They must be covered.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That is a big flag right there alone. When I heard that, I knew it was a false flag from the start.
Right.
When they
the next question that needs to be asked is, how did the Sheriff's Department arrive at the conclusion that it was these two people in this black SUV and not the three Caucasian gentlemen that they should have been looking for and engaging?
Mm-hmm.
Were they part of the Sheriff's Department? Were they FBI? Were they Craft International? We really don't know. And the next question is, everybody remembers a Christopher Dorner shootout where LAPD goes in and shoots the black SUV that had two little old ladies delivering newspapers. They killed one little old lady and wounded the other. Big lawsuit over that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing a felony vehicle stop. Now, the same thing happens where the Sheriff's Department, San Bernardino County Sheriff's Office, basically they unload on a vehicle without knowing who it is, I believe. And did they do a felony stop? Or did they automatically begin opening up on the vehicle? And if they did, they shot up the wrong vehicle, and to cover it up, they created an ISIS terrorist story. Basically, because the lawsuits that could come out of this are numerous.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, with that said...
How about the part where the media went into the two couples' homes?
Well,
walking on a crime scene. I mean, you don't do that.
That's unconscionable.
You don't walk in a
crime
scene, yeah.
Usually, law enforcement and the FBI, and because the FBI was involved... they would have shut down that crime scene for anywhere from 2 to 3 months while they investigate. And all of a sudden they're opening up the crime scene so that the evidence could be contaminated. And listen to me, any evidence that they found there has been compromised because they've fought through the crime scene. You just don't do that on a crime scene. Now, the last question that needs to be asked is, all of us at 31st Field Forces are named.
Okay, can you say that again, Colonel?
Prior to this attack,
we knew that
there was going to be an attack 3 weeks before the attack occurred. We knew it was going to be in Southern California. We just didn't know where it was going to be and what day. If we knew this, you know that law enforcement
would know.
FBI, the law enforcement, specifically the San Bernardino County Sheriff. Did they know of an impending attack and they refused or failed to respond to stop an impending attack preemptively? And if so, did they fail to protect the citizens of San Bernardino County? These questions need to be asked because from what it stands now, this looks like a serious false flag.
I want to point out something really quick. The FBI were investigating those Muslims and were told not to continue investigating them as well.
The FBI had
prior knowledge, the sheriff had prior knowledge, and they did not do anything about it. They allowed a crisis to occur so that they could force their own plans.
All right, let's get DJ weighing in on this. DJ, from what you've heard so far, what do you think?
Okay, well, what I think is this. Every time there's a false flag, there's an exercise going on nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, without exception. And I also think that in California, it's easy pickings for the feds because everybody in California politics is extremely liberal, and they still think it's 1967. So, as a result, the federal government has its way. Okay, so with the liberalism in California, with the politicians in the pockets of the global elite, they can do anything in California they want and get away with it. You have to be aware that if there is an exercise going on, there is a possibility of a false flag nearby. Because it always happens that way.
Very, 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 very true.
I got something I forgot to say, Brian.
Go ahead.
I just heard on InfoWars about a few days ago that there's been a report of missing propane tank. And
a prepaid
cell phone has been bought at Walmart. About over 50 phones prepaid were bought on the same day.
I've gotten that same report that I received a few days ago.
And what do you think about that?
Well, we better get ready because we're going to see another one, probably back east. There's a gentleman that I want to talk about because he has been interviewed on Alex Jones. I would love to have him on our show. His name is Steve Pizinik. And he has come out with his background. He has come out and said that the San Bernardino County mass shooting is a false flag. Let me tell you who Steve Pizak is. He's an MIT graduate. He has a degree in psychology. He studied medicine at Harvard Medical School. He has sat under 4 different presidents, and he's been assistant secretary of state under Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, and James Baker. He's also served on the presidential administrations of Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush. 1974, he became a member of the State Department as a consultant to restructure its Office for the Prevention of Terrorism. He was made the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Management. He negotiated the TWA 355 hostage rescue. He was involved in the Iranian hostage crisis, and he was hired to give the president an idea of what the mental status would be of the hostages because they were held for over a year. That occurred in 77. He was at the Camp David negotiations in 1978 at the Camp David Accords. He helped, he protected the common grounds that Anwar Sadat and Prime Minister Menachem Begin would find to get along, and there was a peace treaty that was signed between Egypt.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard that program, and I think that's where I got my intel regarding that whole situation.
Right.
It is and you're dealing with a very high-source person that knows what's going on, and he's exposing it.
Here's the thing. He was a member of Council on Foreign Relations, and they kicked him out of Council on Foreign Relations. They removed his name from the rolls. Yeah.
Wow.
And because he came out and said that he thought George Bush Sr. was clinically depressed during his presidency. He also has come out and said that that Barack Obama is a obsessional pathological liar, which makes Barack Obama mentally ill. In a interview with Alex Jones, he claimed that Muammar Gaddafi is alive, and he said there's no way they're going to kill him because that's not the operating mode. He's been involved in 30 years with takeouts and regime changes, and he knows what he's talking about. When he says that the government did this, he knows what he's talking about. Because he's been there. Take away, Michael.
Well, what DJ think about this this person that you're talking about, and some of the information regarding to the missing propane tanks and prepaid cell phones that could be possibly be used for explosive for upcoming terrorist attack. What do you think, DJ?
Well, everything that I'm hearing are like pieces to a puzzle. And basically what's going on is the global elite are playing chess. And the population of the United States are playing checkers. And people got to start wising up and start manning up and getting smart and start thinking for themselves instead of what they're told to think on Dancing with the Stars.
Exactly. While we may be playing with checkers, we work with what we got with what we have. The biggest thing is, I believe, and talking to the executive officer today, and he's in agreement. I believe they're using the Islamic connection,
jihad,
the jihad connection, as a false flag. Not only as a false flag, but the XO brought this out this morning. What if the New World Order is going to be Islamic and not Western that everybody thinks?
No, basically, look, the New World Order is going to be the elite, their families, and their servants. A half a billion people. That means 6.5 billion people have to die. They're using the Islamic jihadists to stir things up, so they got a reason to nuke everybody.
Right. Well, the XO means that possibly because Hillary Clinton's been seen wearing a hijab. Several people have been seen wearing Islamic garb. It is, he believes it is very possible. He didn't say it is. He said it's very possible that the New World Order is going to be the Islamic jihad system, the
Wow.
Islamic Sharia law system.
What difference does it make? You have to understand the reason why Hillary was wearing it is because she was required to wear it at those locations.
Yes, that is true.
She doesn't wear it when she's in America. She only wears it when she's there. Personally, I don't think Islam is going to take over the world. They're using Islam to divide and conquer and keep people busy, in the background, continue their plans for the New World Order to be in the final stage to destroy the sovereign nations across the world, including here in the U.S., to bring about this New World Order. And
okay.
It's an anti-order. Right.
We've got about 3 minutes. Here's what needs to be done. Here's what needs to be done at the local level.
Yeah.
As state commander, I am calling for an official separate civilian investigation into all of the events of December 2nd that took place. I'm calling on the Sheriff's Department. I'm calling on the county council and city council in the city of San Bernardino to bring in a separate civilian investigative.
Independent.
Yeah, independent, yes.
Right, an official separate independent civilian investigation to investigate these events, and then whoever is guilty, indict them, and at the very least, there are crimes that have been involved here.
But were there any video surveillance of these shooters in that building, Brian?
Was there any evidence that
ever came forward?
I don't think so. We're looking for that evidence now, and we're getting evidence every day. So we'll be looking for more of that evidence to see if there's any video surveillance. Right now, we are 2 minutes away from the conclusion of our show, so let's have a final thought before I start the music.
Wait a minute, Brian. I want to give a spiritual twist on this.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Final thought.
Okay, final thought. When we are bombarded with lies, the lies do not come from God. Only truth comes from God. That means that all of the people that are lying to us, whether they be politicians, media people, or even the friend next door, if they are lying, they're children of the father of all lies, who is
okay.
the fallen angel,
with
Lucifer.
That, we've got to start our music. This is the conclusion of the show. Thank you, DJ, for showing up. Thank you, Michael, for hosting the show.
Hosting the show. But he does have a point, you know. It is a spiritual warfare, and who's behind it? It's Lucifer himself. So thank you for listening on to the show.
What is it good for?